41. There is nothing more conducive to thy spiritual advancement than to be told of thy faults. Hence it is very expedient and necessary that thou shouldest encourage those who sometimes have done thee this service, that they may continue to do so on every occasion. Since thou hast received their admonitions with joy and gratitude, make it thy duty to put them into practice, and this, not only because of the advantage which self-correction brings with it, but also in order to show to these faithful friends that their care of thee has not been in vain, and that thou art extremely sensible of their kindness. The proud man, even when he corrects himself, does not wish it to appear that he is following the salutary counsels which he has received of others. Nay, he even shows a supreme contempt for them. But the truly humble man glories in submitting himself to all persons for the love of God, and looks upon the wise admonitions he receives as coming from God himself, without reflecting upon the instrument which is made use of. 42. Abandon thyself entirely to God in order to follow the dispensations of his loving providence, even as a tender child casts itself without reserve into the arms of its beloved father. Let God do with thee whatsoever he pleases, without disturbing or disquieting thyself about anything that may befall thee. With joyfulness, with confidence, and with reverence, accept everything that comes to thee from him. To act otherwise would be to requite the goodness of his heart with ingratitude, would be to distrust him. Humility plunges us infinitely below the infinite being of God, but at the same time it teaches us that in him alone is all our strength and every consolation. 43. Since it is clear that without God thou art not able to do any good whatsoever, and that thou wouldst fall at every step and be overcome by the slightest temptation, always acknowledge thyself to be the weak and impotent creature thou art, bearing in mind that in all thy actions thou standest continually in need of the divine assistance. By means of these thoughts, keep thyself inseparably united to God, even as the infant clings to the bosom of his mother, knowing of no other secure support. Say often with the royal prophet, "Unless the Lord has been my helper, my soul has almost dwelt in hell." And, "Look thou upon me, and have mercy on me, for I am alone and poor." Psalm 24, verse 16. And, "O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me." Psalm 69, verse 1. Lastly, cease not to give thanks to the Lord with all the outpouring of thy heart. Above all things, thank him for the protection with which he forestalls and encompasses thee. Beg him constantly to deign to give thee those special helps of which thou standest in need, and which he alone is able to bestow. 44. In the hour of prayer, more especially than at any other time, thou shouldest be penetrated with a feeling of shame and confusion and self-abasement, and with a holy awe of the presence of the Supreme Majesty to whom thou dost dare appeal. "I will speak to the Lord, whereas I am but dust and ashes." Genesis chapter 17, verse 27. If in thy prayer thou receivest some extraordinary favor, thou shouldest at once believe thyself to be unworthy of it, and understand that God has bestowed it upon thee gratuitously and out of his pure mercy. Guard thyself well against imagining that it belongs to thee of right, against taking any vain complacency in it. And if thou dost not receive any such spiritual gift, thou shouldest not be on that account cast down. Rather, reflect that much yet remains for thee to do before thou art worthy of such favors, and that God is exceedingly good and patient even in permitting thee simply to lie at his feet, and to be, as it were, like the poor beggar, who waits whole hours at the door of the rich man's house to obtain some trifling alms wherewith to alleviate his misery. 45. Be ever most prompt in giving to God the entire glory, both of thy good deeds and of the happy issue of the undertakings committed to thy care. To thyself attribute nothing except their defects, for these emanate from thyself alone, whereas every good is from God, and to him only are due the thanks and glory of every good deed. Impress this truth so deeply upon thy mind as to never forget it. Believe that any other person helped by divine grace as thou hast been would have succeeded far better than thou hast done, and would not be guilty of so many imperfections. Reject the praises which may be offered thee for any unexpected success, for they are not due to so vile an instrument as thou art, but rather to that immense, sublime, and eternal master builder who is able, if he had a mind, to make use of a rod to strike water out of the rock, of a little clay to restore the sight of the blind, and who hath power to work an infinity of miracles. 46. If, on the contrary, the affairs placed under thy direction go wrong, it is much to be feared that the failure must be attributed to thy incapacity and to thy negligence. Thy self-love and thy pride, which recoil from every humiliation, would seek perhaps to throw the blame upon others, and when unable to do this, would strive at least to extenuate the fault. But do not encourage these vicious inclinations. Examine thy conduct conscientiously, and trembling lest thou hast failed in doing thy duty, acknowledge thy fault before God, and accept the humiliation as a chastisement which thou hast deserved. If, however, thy conscience does not reproach thee, adore even in this case the dispensations of God, and reflect that perhaps thy past sins and too much self-confidence have caused the blessing of heaven to be withdrawn from thy labors. 47. When approaching the most holy communion, with a heart all inflamed with divine love, thou shouldest at the same time approach with a mind penetrated with sentiments of true humility. And how couldst thou not be wholly amazed on reflecting that a God, infinitely pure and infinitely holy, of love, entertains such a surpassing degree of love for so miserable a creature as thou art, even to giving thee his very self for food? Dive as deeply as thou canst into the abyss of thine unworthiness. Draw not nigh to that adorable sanctity except with the utmost reverence. And when it shall please that amiable Lord, who in this sacrament is all love, to caress thee, communicating himself to thee in the plenitude of his unutterable sweetness, take every possible precaution against falling away from the reverence due to his infinite majesty. Keep thyself always in thy proper place, that is, in submission, in subjection, and in thy nothingness. And yet, the sense of thy poverty and wretchedness ought not in any way to produce the effect of closing up thy heart, or of depriving thee in the least of that holy confidence which thou shouldest have in this heavenly banquet. Nay, it should make thee grow in love towards God, who humbles himself to such a degree as to become the nourishment of thy soul. 48. For thy neighbor entertain true and living charity, and a perpetual fountain of affability and sweetness, and seek with a holy avidity how to help him in all things, but always do so to please God. Examine well the motives of thy actions, and thus shalt discover every snare of vanity and self-love. Refer all the good thou dost to God alone. Know that if thou keepest a good action so hidden and secret as to be known to none but God, it shall secure thee a priceless reward. If, however, through thy negligence it becomes noised abroad, then, like a beautiful fruit which the birds have begun to peck at, it loses almost all its value. 49. Seeing thyself in continual danger of falling, let that wholesome fear which thou shouldest entertain of displeasing the Lord be ever accompanied by an interior sigh towards him, that his infinite mercy may preserve thee from so great a misfortune. These interior sighs are, in reality, those groanings and yearnings of that heart recommended by the saints, which prompt us to attend to ourselves and to our own actions, to the meditation of divine truths, to the contempt of all things fleeting, to the practice of interior prayer, and to keeping ourselves estranged from all that is not of God. In a word, this practice is a fountain of true humility and poverty of spirit. Make frequent use of it, and as far as in thee lies, let it be thy continual prayer.